Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here. And this is Dr. Love, and welcome to Healing the Heart. I'd like to begin with a prayer and get ourselves centered and grounded for tonight's work. Oh Lord, bless our work tonight and help us to be able to touch into the place where the healing comes from, where your grace comes from and your love comes from, so that we can learn the healing process and do the healing process on ourselves and other people. In humility and trust and faith. In his holy name, amen. So, I would like to also begin with my token to the FDA. Nothing that you're going to hear tonight is if you need to, if you have a disease, I reckon this program is not to cure you. And it is not to treat you. If you want to treat yourself, you know, that's your prerogative. But I always recommend if you have some terrible disease, go to a doctor, a medical doctor, or a naturopath, which you can go to in many states who are licensed primary care physicians. So that's my little disclaimer for the FDA. My claim to fame, in all humility, is that I'm one of the only people that you'll know who will tell you that I actually truly have peace inside. And I'm happy. I'm truly happy. And I'm content with my life and content with myself. I don't have fear. I don't worry. I don't have anxiety. I don't have animosity and hate and bitterness. Don't have any body pain. Don't have any physical disease. I'm one of the few people who will tell you that I'm actually whole, and I have my true life work, my mission, calling, and purpose in life now. The reason I said all that is because that's what I teach you how to do through my courses and through my certification instruction. And that's what the purpose of the Love Healing System is to teach you how to have peace inside. Everything begins with peace inside. Now, let me read you something. The action of the remedies, I'm going to read you this from Dr. Bach here. Let me turn it over. Okay. The action of the remedies, Dr. Bach wrote, is to raise our vibrations and open up the channels for the reception of our spiritual self. Because it's our spiritual self that is wanting to heal us. So we need to be able to receive what Bach calls the vibrations, open up the channels for the reception of our spiritual self, to flood our natures with the particular virtue which we need. Well, that's what the Bach remedies do. As you take the Bach remedy, it has a vibrational tonal harmonic resonant frequency which vibrates with your consciousness on the inside of yourself, vibrating in the particular virtue that you need. Like if you need more confidence, you would take large, and through God's grace, it'll vibrate into your consciousness, confidence. And then it says here, Bach continues, to wash out from us the fault which is causing harm. So in other words, like if you have a lack of confidence, that particular fault is causing harm. Through flooding yourself with the virtue that you don't have, you're going to be able to wash clean the fault that you have. to open up that those channels, excuse me, to admit more of the light of the soul, because all healing comes from the soul, that the patient may be flooded with healing virtue. They are like beautiful music or any glorious uplifting thing which gives us inspiration and raises our very natures and brings us nearer to our souls. And by that very act, brings us peace and relieve our suffering. The most important thing when the doctor sits down with a patient is to, what I teach, it says, the spiritual law is treat the patient, not the disease. First thing the doctor always needs to do is say, Fred, what the heck's going on with you? Oh, doc, I'm just depressed. I got anxiety. I got all this worry and fear. And the doctor needs to help Fred take care of those things. That's what the purpose of our flowers is. But to use it properly, you need the advanced protocols. You need someone to teach you. At such moments, Bob continues, we need to bring down into ourselves a bit of fraction of that calm, as symbolized by the entry of Christ into the boat during the storm on the Sea of Galilee when he ordered, peace, be still. So when we're using the Bach flowers, we're giving an order to our conscious mind to listen to our soul and bring us to the point where we say, peace. Be still. You need someone to guide you and help you to learn the process of the healing, to buffer you when you hit the wall. You can't make up for experience, and that's why I developed my course, on the Love Healing System, the Certification Program, which I'll tell you about later on. Nephi, God bless you, in Germany, he told me last week, one of my guides in Germany, he said, who's studying with me, taking the course. It's like being in a dark room. The Bach flowers are like being in a dark room. And people are hitting me, he said. And I can feel them hitting me. But I can't see who's doing it. The Bach is like turning on the light. And then you can see who's hitting you. He said, and then, he said, I can deal with it. I resolve the whole thing. You can't deal with something if you can't see it. The dragons are there. The dragons, the demons, the traumas, the dark issues inside of us operate in the black body light. Black body light means the invisible light spectrum where you can't see it. Once they come into the white body light, where it's in the visible light spectrum, you're going to see these little demons. You're going to see the dragons, which means the traumas. You're going to see the motion of the mind sabotage you and working against you and sucking your energy and taking your power through other people, and you're going to be able to do something about it. Now, that's the action of the remedies. Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist who studies with me, she said, the action of the flower remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and work through these issues on the inside of yourself. Now, we worked last week, we continued with parasitic infestation, people taking your power, people taking your energy. That's one of the biggest causes of disease. But before I get to that, and we pick up with our remedy for this week that we're going to be talking about, which is Cerrado. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about humility, because unless you got humility, you can't receive it. Most people don't really want healing anyway. Most people, they got other agendas, like what's the biggest agenda? Sex and money. Power. Control of other people. Sucking people's energy. So let me talk a little, let me read a little bit from a talk by humility from Kirpal Singh, who was president of the World Fellowship of Religions. St. Augustine said that the way back to God is first humility, second humility, and third humility. O ye who seek God, see that you do not set yourself above others. Give up all that you have, empty yourself of all self. Cast the ego out, and you stand face to face with God. A truly humble man accepts everything as coming from the hands of God. He knows that in him there is nothing praiseworthy. All the good that is in him is from God, and the praise men give him belongs to God. When the young man called Jesus, "Good teacher," Jesus quietly said, "Why call me good? There is none good but God." Humility, says La Cordaire, does not consist in hiding our talents and virtues, in thinking ourselves worse and more ordinary than we are, but in possessing a clear knowledge of all that is lacking in us, and not exalting ourselves for that which we have, but seeing that God has freely given it to us with all his gifts, and yet we are still of little importance. So the truly humble man may accept sometimes the praise of men which men give him, and quietly passes it on to God, keeping nothing for himself. The humble man makes no fuss. He is at harmony with himself and others. He is gifted with a wonderful feeling of peace. He feels safe and secure, like a ship in harbor, unaffected by the howling storms and lashing waves. He has found refuge in the lotus feet of the Lord, and the storms of changing circumstances have no power over him. He feels as light as air. The burdens which we carry all our life, the burdens of the self and its desires, he has laid aside. In the words of Emerson, "Get your bloated nothingness out of the way." And he is ever calm and serene. Having given up everything, he has nothing to lose, and yet everything belongs to him, for he is of God. And God is in him. Having broken the bondage of desire, he is as happy with a piece of dry bread as with a sumptuous meal. In every situation and circumstance of life, he blesses the name of God. And Martin Luther King said, "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools." Kirpal Singh closes saying, "Each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility." And Ernest Hemingway said, "I like to listen. I have learned a great deal from listening carefully. Most people never listen." And from St. John of the Cross, "In order to arrive at having pleasure in everything, desire to have pleasure in nothing. In order to arrive at possessing everything, desire to possess nothing. In order to arrive at being everything, desire to be nothing." Now let's talk about our remedies within us. We're going to go into today are about during suppressive people, during suppressive situations, the spiritual law is that you can't get healed if you're under the influence of a suppressive person or a suppressive organization like a suppressive church. You can't get healed if you're being stifled and suffocated by other people, because they're gonna suck up your healing. So let me read you this poem I wrote. It's called "Who Stifles You?" And thank you, Deborah, for giving me the idea for this poem. Who stifles you? Who draws your life force? Suppresses down on top of you and sucks your juices dry. Suppressive to the desert night. The quail and calls of sweetest birds to suck it all away. Who stifles you and makes your power die? Weakened and reduced by night, and smaller and lesser as the dark turns to the silent wind. Who takes your power in the night, the day, and leaves you weaker, smaller, lesser? As you reach to touch the Milky Way and lift yourself again above the cactus and the fire of sand, who takes away your power and suffocates the very pulsing of your breath? One time you could relax. One time when you were young, you could breathe free and deep. But now, to smother and choke the silence and suppression of your throat, the gentle beating of your heart. Who stifles you and makes you where you cannot be, the person who you really are, the person you were really meant to be? That's deep. Someone said, nobody can take my power. Only when I give my power away. Well, you know what? That's not true. Most of the time, when people take your power, you don't even know it. You just feel tired, you feel drained, and you don't even know that people took your power. It's the dragons who are in control. But the dragons means your traumas. Traumas from your childhood, the old family energy patterns that passed down the generations, those patterns and blueprints, they're the ones that are in control. And what happens is you're coded to draw people who take your power. And you probably don't even know about it, because 98% of what's happening on the emotional is invisible. I had a woman who had a lot of pain, and she had a lot of pain, and she was just all upset and everything. And I got to talking to her, and I said, "When's your pain come?" And she said, "Well, it was Sunday." And I said, "What'd you do Sunday?" "Oh, nothing." And I said, "Well, think about it." So, yeah, well, Sunday night my mother called, and I went over to talk to her and hung out with my mom a little bit. Then I came back, I had so much pain. But I said, "Yeah, that's because your mom sucked your energy and took your power and put her negative energy on you." I said, "You got to watch out going over there, because she's zapping you." She said, "Yeah, that's true." And her pain went away. Of course, I gave her the right remedies for that, to help her see that. I had a woman who was in so much pain. She said she was in fibromyalgia. She had terrible fibromyalgia. And I said, "Well, let's give you the remedy, see what happens." She called me in a month. I think I've told tell you the story before. Back in love, I'll tell you what's going on with me. It's my husband. He's the one that's causing me all this pain. He's putting all his negative energy on me. And I said, my God. She said, yeah, he puts all his negative energy on me. Well, about another couple, two, 3 weeks later, she called me and she said, you know, we did our remedies again for the second month. She said, you know, tell you what I did. She said, I went to my husband and I told him, I said, honey, the pain I've got, because he knew how much pain she was in. He felt really bad about it. She said, I'm a Christian woman, and I'm submissive to my husband. I do everything right. This God's church and the Bible, but he's putting his negative energy on me. He's putting his pain onto me, and I'm taking it out, and that's where my pain's coming from. And she said, so I explained this to my husband. I told him that, you know, if he's going to stay married, we're going to keep our marriage together, you're going to have to quit doing this. And he said, honey, I'm really sorry. I'll quit. And he quit it. And all her pain went away. I had a student tell me the other day, everyone's calling me, telling me their problems. I want to help them. I want to listen to them, but it's so exhausting. I listen to everyone. I listened to one lady for an hour. Me, me, me. My problems, my problems, my problems. I can't believe I'm doing that. But as she takes her image, she begins to see that's what's actually going on. One of the greatest causes of all disease is people taking your energy, sucking your energy, using you as a feeder and dumping on you. Putting the negative energy on you, using you as a feeder and using you as a dumper. So the remedies we're going to be taking up over the last few, 3-4 weeks and the next few weeks, is going to be for what's called shielding from parasitic infestation, where people are using you as a dumper and using you as a feeder. Before we get into that, let me reach another point here. Gracious. She reaches out to touch the world, always longing. What she thinks she needs, always hunger, never happy, always something to achieve. Craving what she does not have, she thinks will make her free. And all the longing and the aching from her heart as ever, peace of mind as never, and all the longing and the aching from her heart as never, peace of mind will be. We're always thinking, if we can just get this, if we can just do that, then we're going to be happy. We were going to get happy. It's by facing the crap and the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the stuff that we have inside of ourselves and resolving it. That's what I teach you how to do in my program. Let me reach another point here. We're going to be talking about men here coming up soon, a few weeks, because men have it built into their psychology. They can't work on themselves. They always have to be strong. They always have to be macho. They can't relax, get into their woman, and what the Cherokee called your woman, and feel, work on themselves. So the men die about 10 plus years earlier than the women. Because the women can process them. But the men don't like to process anything. And men don't like to feel. Kind of a betrayal that has happened to men in our culture. How is it that a man won't feel? Like crashing down a long-friend dog or horse with ruptured legs. He puts his feelings down till they are shut away and heart is dead. How can a man not cry, not feel, or touch the latent windows of his heart? How can a man live in his head and throw away his heart? So what happened is we live in a denial culture, which means we're taught to deny the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the stuff that we carry inside, not to process it, not to work on it. And we're taught that you can't heal anything on the inside of our emotional component, on the inside of the emotional spiritual conflict. You can't go into the inner self and work on yourself and process through your pain and your hurt. We're taught that. And you know what? We're taught wrong. We need to work on our issues instead of pushing it away. Eric Kingman said, problems cannot be avoided by refusing to admit that they exist. And that's what happens in our culture. We go into denial and refuse to admit that we have these issues. I'm going to read that again. I'm reading an awesome book. I got this today from a book called Truman by McCullough. Wonderful book, wonderful man. Problems cannot be avoided by refusing to admit that they exist. So let's go into some remedies here. And if anybody wants to write me with a question or whatever, my email, I've got my little tablet here beside me. My email is medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And we had talked about the sentry remedy, which is for shielding and protection. Sentry is a people pleaser. It's hard to say no. We've talked about walnut, which is the general remedy for protection. And the walnut personality needs more shielding and protection. It's a wonderful remedy for shielding. We talk about the agrimony that makes light of our feeling. Oh, everything's fine, but it's not fine. And we talked about mimulus, which is a remedy for fear. If you have fear, they can control you. They can suck your energy and dump on you. They can take your power. And we talked about larch, which is a remedy for confidence, because if you don't have confidence, you're going to draw people to you who are going to take your power and use you as a feeder and then dump on you and use you as a dumper. Tonight, I want to talk about the remedy Serrato, which is next in the shielding remedies. And you can write these down because they're real important to know. Because this is one of the greatest small causes of disease. The Serrato is also a remedy for confidence. You have three remedies for confidence. Excuse me, you have the larch we went into last week. You have the Serrato we're going into this week. And you have Scilanthus, which we may get to this week. And Dr. Bach wrote about Serrato. He said, those who have not sufficient confidence in themselves to make their own decisions, they constantly seek advice from others and are often misguided. So the first thing about Serrato is that the Serrato person seeks advice. They're always going around asking, well, what do you think about this? And let me ask you what you think and run this by you. In fact, they overseek the counsel and advice of other people. And as a result, they're over-asking questions of other people, over-asking other people's opinions. When confronted by decisions, they always go to someone else and ask for advice. They're always wanting information. They're very talkative. We've got about six remedies that are talkative. And they can suck your energy by talking too much, asking you questions. And here's a big thing. They often, Serrato feels foolish. It's just, sometimes I feel I just lack common sense. Lack of confidence. Doubt of one's ability. Distrust of self. To heal, you need to learn about yourself. You need to know yourself. And you need to become centered in yourself and come into your power on your inner self. So Rado, and our society doesn't want you to do that because the society wants you to conform and to go along with whatever that they want you to do. So you never get to be yourself. You never get to be in your power. You never get to find your life worth, and you never get to have peace inside. Everything begins with inner peace. Trust me on that. Serrato distrusts her own judgments, opinions, decisions, and conclusions, and then goes to other people and asks them, well, what do you think about this? Weak convictions. I'm just so embarrassing. Years ago, I was going to buy a motorcycle. So I went to my best friend and I said, listen here, I got this motorcycle I could buy. What do you think? Do you think I ought to buy it? He said, yeah, sounds good. So I went to another friend and said, listen, I got this deal on this motorcycle. Do you think I should buy this motorcycle? He goes, yeah. So I went to a couple other friends. I think they were calling each other, telling them that I was going, asking advice. Finally, I came back to the first friend again, and I said, listen, I wanted to ask you about this. We had talked, you know, about the one. He said, you should do what you want to do. And I said, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I feel like a fool. When I was in college, I was so serrated out. Weak convictions get you drained by certain people. See, because when you go on to people and say, well, tell me what you think about this. I got to run these aspects of my life. I got to run these decisions by you. You're going to draw suppressive people. Remember, you can't get healed if you're under the influence of a suppressive person. Who stifles you? Who suppresses you? Who is on top and you are on bottom? Mark, one of my guys in Belgium, God bless him and God bless you, Mark. Shout out to you. He says, I always have a win-win with my people, with my team. They win and I win. Suppressive person, the suppressive person wins. And you don't win, you lose. So the Serrato draws suppressive, parasitic people to take your power. They drain you. People drain you. So you're actually drawing people who drain you. You may not know you're being drained, but you'll go away and you'll be tired, or you'll go like, how come I'm so tired? How come I'm so exhausted? Well, because you're drawing people who suck your energy and take your power. Who stifles you? Your energy is pulled by other people, and you need more shielding from violating parasitic or negative energies, negative people. Vitality is sapped by other people, so people are sucking the energy, taking power. Dominated and influenced by other people. One of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to be dominated and controlled by other people. Why? Because when they control you, they're going to take your power. When they control you, it's not a win-win. They win, you don't win. You're underneath them. You don't want to go around being bottom. You don't want to be top. You want to be equal with people and people who can relate to you and respect who you are and listen to what you have to say. Remember what Hemingway said? No one really listens. Dominated and influenced by other people. Under the influence of a suppressive person. You don't want to be there. And Serrato is one of the remedies we got. Let's see. Well, all these shielding remedies are for helping you to turn the light on to see if you're under the influence of a suppressive person. Misguided by others, they tell you to do the wrong thing. Following advice unwittingly. I've seen Bob follow other people's advice, even against his own better judgment. Interfered with by advice. persuaded by others, dominated, but you don't want to be dominated and controlled by other people, influenced by the decisions of other people. Excuse me, they're going to tell you how to run your life. Lack self-reliance. Talkative, weak convictions, fond of conventions, which means strong family ties, strong ways of being, like a particular church or whatever, so the organized way of being in the social, changeable. Dr. Bach wrote, "We can, however, by communion with our higher self, keep that harmony which enables us to overcome all worldly oppression and makes our journey along the straight path to fulfill our destiny, undeterred by the influences which would lead us astray. If we can but keep in constant communion with our own soul, our Heavenly Father, then indeed is the world a place of joy, nor can any adverse influence be exerted upon us." I have another poem you can hear. So that's the Serrato remedy. We have one more, that's for confidence, for shielding. Before we move to our next remedy, I'm going to read you my last poem. Know thyself. And I have a quote from Jessica now here, before I begin the poem. "Every charge you take in must be discharged." Why don't you slow your life down and learn to know yourself, and take to understand the person who you really are inside? Perhaps luck is from your pain, the pain and hurt that's buried in the sand and carried in the canyons of your heart, blocking you from being who you should become. You turn around and go inside yourself, and there it is, the stacks of garbage, baggage of emotion, and all the stuff and junk you stuffed away, never dealt with or resolved. You run instead. You run from who you really are and what you really feel. For you can simply bolt, deny your baggage and your stuff, and shove it down and hope it goes away. I hope you never have to process anything. Why do you refuse to work on yourself and process through these issues? Working through your baggage and the sour, rancid upset, floating silent in your heart. Then you could stand free upon the mountainside and feel the crisp, still air and let your heart soar free and feel the deep emotions of your breath and understand your soul. And learn to know yourself. And step onto the mountain path. There's the train passing. I hope you can hear it. And step onto the mountain path. And feel the sun upon your face. And sip the gentle waters of the mountain stream that flow from heart to breath to soul. The ancient waters of the force of life, the understanding of the self. Very deep, very deep. I feel that we live quite a shallow life these days. So we'll get together, we'll talk about clothes and cars, anything but feelings and the truth of who we really are, what we really feel, and what's going on with us inside. It's sort of like not politically correct to feel your truth, speak your truth, talk about your truth. Next thing we're going to go into, take a look at my time, Scloranthus. Scloranthus, let me do a little commercial here that, before we go into Scloranthus, and we'll close on that remedy. My school, the Academy of Healing, is a one-year certification program. We give a certified homeopath. We give a certified nutrition consultant. We give a certified herbalist and homeopathic treatment certification in the treatment of animals. It's a one-year program, and it's a true certification. And what we do, the way that we do this, is we talk together for 1 hour each week. We can skip a week here and there for a year. And we work together, and I give you remedies and take you into the inscape on the inside of yourself and show you the process of the healing process on the inside of yourself so you really touch it, taste it, feel it, and see it. That's the way to really learn this. In about 2 or 3 months, I have you working with other people, giving people the Bach flowers on this advanced level that I teach and that I work with, using the advanced protocols. I teach you the wonderful SAF system, which Louise Hay says is one of the best systems of therapy, the most advanced on earth. I teach you how to do that on yourself. I teach you how to do Bach remedies on yourself. Work with the people that are close by you. I teach you the wonderful alignment technique. You hold a few muscle tests of feet, hold a few points in the forehead, behind the head. All the bones in the spine go into a complete spot of alignment. I teach you how to work with diet and nutrition to heal people. And the course is a one-year certification program. And I tell everybody that this will be the most dramatic healing of your entire life. And I'm very honored to be sharing this and doing this with people. And those of you that are interested or interested in the remedies, give me a call at 406-585-0774. My email address is medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And my website is drericlove.com. And again, my phone number 406-585-0774. Okay, so let's go into Scloranthus here. Scloranthus is the remedy for indecision. It's the last of the three remedies for confidence, and it's a remedy for indecision. It's we've only got about, after this, we've got two more remedies, and then we'll complete the shielding group. So these are the remedies for shielding and protection, so that if you need more shielding from people taking your power, people suppressing you, people stifling you, you're going to need to take some of these shielding remedies. And they are, and you can replay the program to get it again, agrimony, ascentric agrimony, walnut, and then you've got mimulus and larch, and cerato, and then we've got scloranthus, and then pine, and clematis. In England, they call it clematis. Can't call it clematis, call it clematis. Dr. Bach wrote, scloranthus is it's those who suffer much from being unable to decide between two things, first one seeming right and then the other. They are usually quiet people and bear their difficulty alone, as they're not inclined to discuss it with others. So there's little things, little, not the big decisions, what you want to do in life. Their life work, Napoleon Hill said that each person has one thing that they can do better than anyone else on earth, and that would be the wild oat remedy to help you find out what your actual gift and your purpose and mission and calling in life is. We'll get to that in another show. That's the wild oat. Scolanthus is for the little bitty indecisions that you have on a daily basis. One lady told me that her mother went upstairs and change came down the party. 15, 20 minutes later, she went upstairs and changed again, came down the party. 20, 30 minutes later, she went upstairs and changed, came down the party. And she said, "Mom, how come you go up and you're changing your dresses all the time, your outfits?" She said, "Well, you know, it was too tight, or I didn't like the color, or something wrong about it." So the scolanthus can't make up their mind to go back and forth and back and forth. So embarrassing. You go to the health food store, you're going to buy some beans. You stand there for 30 minutes reading the different bean containers and going, "Well, maybe I should buy these beans. No. What about the other beans?" Just drives you crazy because you can't make any decisions. And what's happening is a person has fallen into a kind of instability, and they got people sucking their energy and taking their power. And as a result, they lose their stability and can't make decisions. I had a guy, I gave him this remedy. And then I didn't see him. He came in the co-op in Arcata, California. Gave him this remedy, gave him a couple other remedies. And I didn't see him. After a while, so many months, I saw him, and he came up to me. "That's love. I got to tell you what happened." I know what happened. I got a letter from him. And he told me that he had gone through this healing on the inside of himself, and on the inside of himself, he had resolved the issue of indecision. That's what he told me. And he thanked me. He said it was one of the most dramatic healings of his life. And then I lost track of them. Then I saw him again in the co-op, and this is what he told me. He said that he went camping with a few friends, and they were on the side of a mountain, and he went over to the stream in order to get some water, and he bent down to get some water in the pot for the cooking or the drinking, whatever it was. And there was a big old log there, and he bent down, passed out. And when he woke up, all the trees were flat, and all his friends never saw him again. And he told me what was happening was he was on the mountain of Mount St. Helens when the volcano erupted, and the surge came, what they call the surge, comes down about 100, 150 miles an hour with hot, molten heat and knocks the trees down. And because he was there bending down by this log, didn't kill him, and they never found any of his friends. He told me that story. He was the guy that told me his life had changed when I gave him the scolanthus. I had a this old gentleman, I was downtown listening to some music in Arcata Avenue. George was his name, and he couldn't walk too well. I said, "George, how come you can't walk so well?" And he's walking real slow. And he said, "Well, I can't balance." And I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, I can't balance." Well, this is the remedy for the balance, because you can't make a decision, you can't balance. So I went to his place. He lived in a garage, and I gave him scolanthus, clematis, which we'll go into a couple of weeks, a bunch of other remedies. And I came back in a month. Well, he was like walking so slow. It took me 30 minutes to walk two blocks to his house, to his little garage apartment. Anyway, I dropped in on him a month later because the remedies run in like 1 month cycle. And there was a window in the door, and he got up, walked to the door, and opened the door. I said, "George, my God, you're walking." He goes, "Yeah, why wouldn't I walk?" And I said, Well, I guess the remedies worked. He said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they work. I said, George, you're walking. And I said, well, would you like some more remedies? He said, yeah. I'll take some more. So God bless him, old George. Do you have trouble making decisions about little everyday things? That's what this remedy is for. Indecision or indecisiveness about little things, little everyday things. One person said, these little decisions paralyze me and immobilize me because you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Uncertainty. The Scoranthus person isn't certain. They can't make certain definite decisions. Hesitancy through uncertainty. Unreliable because of uncertainty. Slow because of indecision. So this remedy is for procrastination. Scoranthus, Mimulus for fear, and March for confidence. Those are your three remedies for procrastination. This one is also for lack of confidence. So is Cerato, and so is March. Slow because of indecision, restlessness because of indecision, lack of concentration because of indecision, procrastination. We talked about that. Lack of poise. You just don't have your balance. And changing moods. One minute you're laughing, next minute you're crying, one minute you're this way, one minute you're that way. It's because your skull wrapped us out. You're unstable. Everything's constantly changing. First, 1 minute she's laughing, next minute she's crying. First she says one thing, then she says three others. I wish she'd set her mind on one thing and just do it. Alternating moods, fluctuating moods. I feel good, then I feel bad, because everything's constantly changing. This is the remedy. It's not for change. It's for when you're constantly changing and you can't stabilize yourself. This is for instability, constantly changing anything, constantly changing attitude, moods. So how many minutes we got?
Three minutes.
Okay, good. Let me stop, go back. I want to read this poem again. Do this in 3 minutes. Why don't you slow your life down and learn to know yourself and take to understand the person who you really are inside? Perhaps the block is from your pain. The pain and hurt that's buried in the sand and carried in the canyons of your heart, blocking you from who you should become. You turn around and go inside yourself, and there it is again, stacks of garbage, baggage of emotion, and all the stuff and junk you've stuffed away and never dealt with or resolved. You run instead, you run from who you really are and what you really feel, for you can simply bolt. Deny your baggage and your stuff and shove it down and hope it goes away and hope to never have to process anything. What do you refuse to work on yourself and process through those issues, working through your baggage and all the sour, rancid, upset, floating silence in your heart? Then you could stand free upon the mountainside and feel the crisp, clean air and let your heart soar free and feel the deep emotions of your breath and understand your soul and learn to know yourself and step onto the mountain path and feel the sun upon your face and the gentle waters of the mountain stream that flow from heart to breath to soul. The ancient waters of the force of life, the understanding of the self. Thanks for joining us. God bless you all, and I'll see you next week.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.